We're talking in this series about knowing God. And I'm not talking about a knowledge of, this is what God is, and you know all about him. The devil knows all about God, but he doesn't know God. He doesn't really know him. He doesn't serve him. He's not obedient. He's rebellious. He does what he wants. He sets his priorities somewhere else. The Word of God clearly tells us, hey, when we accept Jesus Christ into our hearts, he's there to do a makeover. If you ever watch those home makeovers on TV and stuff like that, well, that's what he does internally with us. And he does it through the Word of God. There's no other way. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. And he wrote it, all the disciples were inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's been written down. So, there's no option B. There's only option A to God in heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. So we don't really have an option. You can argue other options. You can believe in other options, but the truth is the truth is the truth. Doesn't matter what you believe. It's what God has told us to believe. And so that's what we study, and that's what we want to know. Who is God and his attributes? And we've already covered a couple. Today, I love this one because we're going to discover our all-powerful God. The Bible says that God is almighty. All powerful. That means there's nothing less than the power that he has. And it's common sense if you look at the universe and how everything's held together and what he's done and how he's created all things and that he's always been and he always will be and he always is. When you think of that, your human mind just gets blown away. I don't know about you, but mine, I can't handle that. I can't explain that to you as a pastor, how God has always been, and I can't even, there was never a beginning, and he will always be, and he's in the now and he's with us now. But in knowing that, he's all powerful. That means that everything that you see or you could possibly see and with a Hubble telescope of what man in his own finite mind can discover, that's God. And then beyond that, scientists know there's 11 dimensions. We live in 3 dimensions. But when Jesus walked through the wall after he resurrected, that's a whole nother dimension. And scientists will tell you today that they know of at least 11 dimensions. They can't, and we can't function in any of those. But there's at least 11. So how many does God, who knows? We have an all-powerful God. That excites me. It just lets me know that when I'm walking down the street and I'm in trouble and I need him, and he knows that I need him, that he's going to be there for me because I've placed my trust in him. And if not, like a lot of pastors have always said, what's the worst thing that can happen? You die and you're in his presence. There's nothing bad about anything. We're here for a purpose, and it's not to build your kingdom. It's to continue to build the kingdom that Jesus established when he went into the ground and put his seed into the ground, and he resurrected. And he left us with the Holy Spirit to build upon the kingdom of God that he put here on earth. And ultimately, the New Jerusalem will come down, and the whole place will be revamped. Satan will be thrown into the lake of fire, and we'll be living like back in the days of Adam and Eve before they sinned. This is just good news. This is what you've got to get in your spirit, man, so that you can walk around, and the next time you're tempted to do something outside of God, there's a check. That's what the Holy Spirit's there for you. You go, you know what? Well, I'm going to, you just cut me off. Bless you. Bless you. You just don't know how to drive, but bless you. But, we joke about that, but instead of ranting and raving and cussing and, we have to learn to train and buffet our bodies. And it's the same thing with our mind. We want the mind of Christ. Well, it's not just going to get there. He's not just going to take stuff and push it into your brain. We've got to study to show ourselves approved. We have an all-powerful God. He's able to do that. There's plenty of people that read this and have no clue as to what it says. And there's plenty of people that do read it, study it, and then they interpret it in a whole some different way. And, obviously God has it. There's one really way, but he has grace and mercy for all of us who kind of misinterpret this sometimes. But if our heart's right, he'll get it right. And he'll put it right inside of you. So I want you to know today that we have an all-powerful God. Every second, the sun produces the same energy as about 1,000,000,000 megaton bombs. Come on, get a grasp. I want you to get a grasp of who God is. He created the sun, right? The sun itself produces the same energy as about 1,000,000,000,000 megaton bombs. 1,000,000,000,000. Yet the sun is only one medium-sized star in a universe filled with trillions of others. Trillions. Well, we did this last time, right? So we'll just do that with the water, okay? Think about these things, folks. Astronomers estimate that there are between 100 billion and 400 billion stars in our galaxy. And based on the images from our Hubble Space Telescope, there may be an additional 1 trillion galaxies in the universe. I can't. Why? Because I'm the created being and he's the creator. We're not going to know everything. I'm not going to have all your answers as your pastor. We're not going to get into all the doctrine and have to be having everything and just perfect and stuff like that. We just got to go before God on our knees and stay humble every day and what? Love others. You love others and you love God and you'll fulfill the whole law. And it's fun to get into the scriptures and look and you know and get our opinions and stuff like that, but our opinions at the end of the day doesn't really matter. It's God who's in charge of the billions of galaxies. And he placed the earth and its planet in just the right spot, on just the right axis, with just enough power to sustain our life, with just enough of that billions of power from the sun to reach us in just too much time to keep our temperature at 98.6. Whoa! If that thing goes off just a little bit, we burn up. If it gets a little colder, we cold up, I guess they call it, or freeze up. But this is God, folks. This is not, I'm not telling you a story. This is real. This is reality in your life. You're here for a ultimately greater purpose than what you think you're here for.
Yes, yes.
And you got to get that. Think of all the energy radiating from all the stars and ask yourself, where did it all come from? What source of power could animate the universe so well? Who wired the cosmos enough and to have enough voltage to keep it glowing and burning and spinning and functioning to the human observations or imagination to an seemingly endless duration? God, our almighty, all-powerful God. It may not seem that way in your life right now that he's all-powerful, doing all the things that you want him to do, but I challenge you to do what everybody said when Dan came up and my wife came up and others came up to confirm that. I think a lot has to do with what we're not doing versus what he's not doing.
Amen.
You want to go and chase something and pursue something? Look at your wife. If you're married today, you didn't just get her by just going up to her and saying, hey, babe, I like you. Let's go. Let's get hitched. You got to know her. You had to know each other. God has to learn to trust you. You have to learn, most of all, to trust God. And when you get into that kind of relationship and he knows that you're praying and he knows that if he tells you to do something, you're not going to get distracted and sidetracked so that it'll get done. Then you begin to get more responsibility because he says in the Bible, what? To much is given, much is required. Becoming a Christian is not easy. Life's not going to be a big bowl of cherries and things that aren't going to happen to you. You actually become a target. Satan in those demonic realm in the second heavens that operates right now temporarily in that second hell. Whoa, he's not after the non-Christians. He can care less what you do. He's glad that you're on his side. But when you get into the second heavens, you got a war and you're in it. But you know what? The war's already been won. We're guerrilla fighters and we have everything we need inside of us, that power from the Holy Spirit to defeat him because greater is he that's within us than in the world. That's not just me preaching that. This is the truth coming from the Word of God. It's real if we'll just exercise it. So many people today don't want to exercise. Whether it's going to the gym for physical exercise or whether it's spiritual exercise, we just want to be doing our own thing. And then just, you know, we'll fit God in where we need to fit it in, or we'll fit the gym in where we need to fit it in. It doesn't work that way. God wants that attention to be that priority. And when you're done with God, or should I say he's done with you, then go about your business. He can get you a job anywhere you want. He can bring money anytime he wants. He can reconstruct your life any way he wants. He just wants to see he has your faith and that you believe. And we sang all about that. 1 Chronicles 29:11. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. And I didn't plan on reading that like that, but it's in my sermon. And indeed, everything that is in the heavens and in the earth, yours is the dominion, O Lord, and you exalt yourself as head over all. God said it, that's the way it is, and that's who you're in here today to serve.
Amen.
Not me, I may offend you, you may not even like me. You may not like the person to your left or right all the time. But sometimes God puts you where you need to be so that you can do the most for him. And it doesn't matter whether you like it or not. If you love him, you'll do what he asks you to do, and you'll go where he tells you to go. I know a man like that. He's sitting in the back row. God told him, this is where you need to be today. And so he's here. He hears God. He has quiet time. He knows the voice of God. Do you know the voice of God? Are you in that level? Don't condemn yourself if you don't, because it's real easy. Change. Get to know him. Read his word. Pray. Get into a home group with a small group of people. Study God's word. Or just fellowship, or just hang out, or just talk about whatever. But just love people. That's getting to know God, because what? God is love. And God is knowledge, and God is all those things. It's really, you should look forward to every day that you have an opportunity to take your next breath, to go before God and say, God, here I am. Use me. Send me. Isaiah said it. God, I'm so excited. I'm in the heavens. Remember, Isaiah was transported to heaven. He's standing before God, and he's seeing everything. He's going, oh, my gosh. Oh, Lord, Lord, send me. Me. It's like that donkey in Shrek. Oh, 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 me. Pick me. Right? Anybody seen Shrek? You've seen that? That was Isaiah. He's like, I'm amongst all the saints. I mean, Daniel and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and right? Well, yeah, make sure I got all those before. If I didn't, then you know what? Forgive me. You know, I put them out of order. But he had all the patriarchs. And he was seeing them and the angels and the cherubim and all the other created beings that God created worshiping before his throne. And all he wanted to do was be a part of it. God, send me back and whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Yeah. Don't wait for a vision like that before you serve God. Serve him in faith. What did he say to Thomas? Blessed are those who believe and have not seen with their physical eyes. Maybe you don't feel them. Maybe you don't taste them. Maybe you don't touch them. Maybe you're just thinking, God, you just seem so distant. Well, he's not. He's right here, and it's up to you to get on his lap, have your cup of coffee with him, and get to know him. I mean, really know him. And today, know that he's an all-powerful God. God expends no energy that must be replenished. God doesn't exercise power and energy and then go, oh, I get to get filled back up again. You do, but not him. That's not the God we serve. The Bible has a unique word to describe God. It's called omnipotent. Omnipotent. In other words, the Almighty. The Almighty. It refers to the totality of God's infinite strength. Infinite means without end. His infinite power, his infinite energy, and his infinite authority. Folks, he can get you through any situation, anytime, just like that. He's training us. We're his kids. We're going through spiritual training when you become a disciple of Jesus Christ. He's bringing you through situations, resistance sometimes. Why? Well, he'll tell us, go back to the natural. If you go into the weight room and you go against resistance, you build muscle. When you begin to train God's way, you train with spiritual muscle. And your ability and your power and your authority and your confidence and your boldness and your ability to recollect God's word all increases. Folks, it's a measure of just how much you put in of what you get out. What you sow is what you Luke 1:37. For nothing will be impossible with God. End of story. Daniel 4:35. All the inhabitants of the earth, that includes every one of us, are accounted as nothing. That's not too good. But he does according to his will. In other words, it doesn't matter what decisions you make. Ultimately, his decision for you will come to pass. And he may have to boot you over to the right or boot you over to the left to get you on the path you're supposed to go. But when you become his child, and how many of you know who have children, when you want them to go in a certain direction, you're going to get them to go. And if they start heading that way, you grab them by the nape of the neck and you put them that way, right? It's no different with God. Why do we super spiritualize everything? He's our heavenly Father. And if we're off track, trust him enough. If you love him enough, he's going to put you on track. But sometimes it's going to take some resistance because what? You're pushing against the goads. You're going against what he wants, and you know you are. Sometimes you don't know you are, and he's just as gracious to get you back on track. So just say thank you in all things, because all things what? Work together for good to them that love God and that are called according to his purpose, not yours, but all the inhabitants of the earth are counted as nothing. But he does according to his will in the host of heaven. That means he's doing what he wants in heaven. Okay. And among the inhabitants of the earth. In other words, he knows what he's doing up in heaven right now, even though you don't see him. And he knows what he's doing on the earth, even though you may not connect with him. And no one can ward off his hand or say to him, what are you doing? What are you done? Hey, God, what's up? What are you doing that for? And I say that with an attitude, because there's nothing wrong with saying, God, what are you doing? Help me out here. Put me on the right path. But how dare you come up to God Almighty of what I just described? What are you doing? Have you had a child come up to you and ever do that? What do you think you're doing, Mom and Dad? Oh, you just look at your wife and you're like, did he just say what I think he just said? And you may have about a 5-second reprieve before the discipline comes. But that's how it works. There is nothing outside the realm of God's power. Jeremiah 32:17. Ah, Lord God, behold, you've made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you. What great truth. What great truth. Isaiah 40:28. These prophets had it going on. Do you not know? I could just see Isaiah. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, our eternal God, the Lord Adonai, the creator of the ends of the earth, all-powerful God we have, does not become weary or tired. Oh, I'm tired today. You know, angels take over. His understanding is inscrutable. What does that mean? Don't sit here and try to figure him out all the time. You're never going to get all the answers. There's going to be a level of mystery that you will never know until you get where? To heaven, when he says all things will be made known. For now, you're limited. For now, you're in this carnal body that can have a minute air and have to have it repaired. For now, you know, the wind blows on you and can blow you in a certain way. Do you understand that we're not of this world spiritually, but we're living in it. So it rains on the just and the unjust. Don't blame God. Blame all the things man has done to get us into this position. Sin has taken over in this world, and sometimes we're exposed to that, and it affects us. And some Christians, adverse circumstances, they come. We have to learn to resist. And the worst case scenario, as I said before, the worst thing you do is you die and get what's... I mean, hey, Jesus. You know? Oh, I wish I'd have come here before. You know? What did Paul say? It's better to be with God in heaven than to be down here on the earth. But for all your sakes, I'm willing to stay. That's a relationship with God. I don't know how many of us could really kind of say that, right? Did I do Isaiah 40? Okay. So let's talk lastly right now and finish with four aspects of God's power, and then I'll let you go. Four aspects when we talk about the power of God that I want you to understand. First, the power of God in creation, and we've alluded to that. Romans 1, 19 and 20 says it all. Because that which is known about God is evident within them. In other words, you have no excuse. None of you have an excuse. For God made it evident to them. And well, how did he do that? That's what you, when you read that verse, you go, well, what do you mean, God? For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, in other words, you don't see him, but I know that if I'm looking at a painting, let's say that right there, that didn't just get thrown up in the air and the paint, we're talking about paint, 5 gallons of paint thrown up in the air and boom, there it is. We talked last week about how Aaron, remember Moses and Aaron? Aaron said, Moses, you were up on the mountain. I threw the gold into the fire and oh, out came a golden calf. Things don't happen like that by accident. It has an author. It has a painter. We know something painted that. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes, even though we don't see the painter, we know that he exists because of what we see and what we hear and feel. That's how he created us. His eternal power, his divine nature having been clearly seen, we see it all over, being understood, how do we understand it? Through what's been made. When you look at the constellations in the universe and all that is, so that they are without excuse. In other words, when we stand before God in heaven to be judged one day, right, for what we've done or haven't done, and those that don't know him are going to be, that's worse, because then that's a hell thing, right? But we're not talking about that today. But we're without excuse for the things that we do that doesn't give God glory, honor, and praise for it. If you think you have any strength on your own, in a minisecond, God can change that. What you have and what you've been given and what you've been gifted with and the very next breath you take is all because God has already ordained it so in heaven. It says he knows the number of your days and he knew you before you even were created in your mother and father's womb. Well, that was an accident. They didn't plan me. It didn't matter whether mom or dad planned you. God planned you. And until you get that, you're going to think you're a mistake and you need deep healing. And we do have deep healing classes. We have these, you know, once in a while. Point is, God knows you better than you know you. Don't think that you're an accident. Don't think that it's too late. Don't think that you can't be forgiven 70 times 7. God loves you, that he sent his son to die for you, for the whole world, in fact. Not everybody accepts it, but he died for the whole world. That you could be reconciled to your Father who loved you before the foundation of it. Let us make man in our image. He wanted to fellowship with Adam and Eve. And that's what he wants with us. God spoke the world into existence and his power was conveyed by the simple syllables he spoke. Let there be. And if he said, let there be whatever, it would have been whatever. The power of his words. That's why the power of your words matter, because you're made in the image of God. You can destroy someone with two words, one word, with a look, with a countenance. Why? Because you have that much authority and power. God created you that way. Romans 1, 19 and 20. I did that. Psalm 33, 6 to 9. By the word of the Lord, his spoken, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their host. That means when you were born, he breathed breath into your life. When he took all of the minerals of the earth and the dirt of the earth and he formed you and he created all of your systems inside of you and such. He says he then breathed into Adam. Adam means man. And his breath, his spirit came into Adam and he was a spiritual being in an earthly body to adapt to this earth. So when we leave this earthly body that had adapted to this earth, we don't need it anymore. That's why whether you're cremated or you're buried or whatever, it doesn't matter. The very way he put you together, he can take you apart. He can put you back together again. It's your spirit that goes to be with God, who you really are. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap, and he lays the deeps in the storehouses. Let all the earth fear, means reverence, the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Folks, get these words and get it into your spirit. We're to be in awe of God. That ought to set your priorities, as was spoken by some already today, in the right place. He needs to be the first priority of your life. And let me tell you something, above and beyond your wife and your kids, your family and everything else, he'll take care of your wife and your kids and all the other things that concern you. Seek first the kingdom of God and everything else will be there. Your children are not your children. They're firstly God's, because he knew them before you even got born into you. What you are is stewards of your children. You're to care for them. They're God's. He spoke. He commanded. It stood fast. Secondly, the God who created the universe also keeps it going, as well as sustaining his own people within it. He not only keeps the world going, but he keeps you going. Colossians 1:17. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Perfect. Psalm 55, 22. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous. Who are the righteous? Those who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. To be shaken. Isaiah 46, 4. Even to your old age, that doesn't mean he's just going to do it for a moment. Even to your old age, I will be the same. And even to your graying years, white years, I will bear you. I have done it, and I will carry you, and I will bear you, and I will deliver you. This has got to be an encouragement to you this morning. Meditate upon these scriptures. This is your God speaking to you, not just those that were 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years ago. This is you. If you feel overwhelmed with life, thinking all-powerful God who promises he will never leave you or forsake you. If you feel overwhelmed with life, I'll say it again. Think of your all-powerful God who promises he will never leave you or forsake you. Thirdly, we see God's all-powerful nature in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That speaks for itself. Ephesians 1, 18 to 21, and I'll leave it with that. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope, the expectation of your calling, his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? See, Jesus Christ has been given a prize, and you know what that is? You. He died for you. He's your umpire. He's your mediator. He's your good lawyer. He's standing before God and you saying, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe? To us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. In other words, he made it possible through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which he brought about in Christ when he did what I just said. He raised them from the dead. And now Jesus Christ is seated. He seated them at his right hand in the heavenly places. Right hand standing for the authority of God. Jesus Christ has all authority. He says, I have all authority on heaven and earth, and I give it unto you. He's talking about his disciples, us. Because he's far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. Therefore, he can do that. And every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the ones to come. This is our powerful God. And fourthly, lastly, I said I'd give you four ways that he's all powerful. We see the transforming power of his gospel. What is his gospel? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. His life story, what he told us we can be, who we are in Christ, how we're to function as a church now. Paul comes later and gives us a whole series of things of how we can become more like him and train to become the four gospels. See, from the four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when we get to Acts, all the way to Revelation, we're in training to become like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Because he said, whatever I did, greater things than these you will do, because I go to the Father. And because I go to the Father, I'll be able to send you my Spirit, my Holy Spirit, who will live within you by my Spirit. Wow, this is good stuff. Amen. This is what makes you powerful. Right. But you're not powerful, you don't know you have power.
Amen.
You can't spend $1 million if you don't know you have it. That's why we're doing this study. You need to know these things. We see his transport. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, neither should you be. Don't ever be ashamed of Jesus. For it is the power of God for salvation, for you to get to heaven, to be healed, to be delivered. To everybody who what? Believes. To the Jew first, because the promises were given to Abraham and his descendants, right? Abraham was a Jew and his descendants. And we have become descendants. How? We've been adopted. We were Gentiles. But we've been adopted by the Jews. Don't you count Israel out. For those of you that don't believe Israel has a part to play in the end times, you're off, you're wrong. It's to the Jew first and to the Gentile. We've become one new nation, the church. The Jew and Gentile alike have become one, just as Jesus Christ wants unity. And it's called the church. The Jews and us, the church. We're going to do something big. And it's getting ready to come. The outpouring is getting ready to happen. And you guys have to be trained and ready to minister to those who don't know him.
Amen.
And you're not really going to have to say or do much. They're just going to come in, sense the power of God. They're going to see you and they're going to see a light. And it's going to be just all God from then on. Every Jesus follower is exhibit A to the world that there's a transforming power of the gospel. I don't know about you, but my life's an example of the transforming power of the gospel. Because I was a wretched person before I became a pastor. And I don't know about you, some of you can tell me your stories, and I don't want you to tell me your stories, but you know where you come from. You're exhibit A to the power of God at work in you. I conclude today with mentioning about God's power in our everyday lives, because what's all this talk if we can't apply it to our everyday lives? If we aren't living daily in his power, we are poor testimonies of the Christian faith. If there are as many divorces in the Christian world as there is in the world, and there is 50-50, right? That's a poor testimony of the power of God.
Right.
If you can't walk into a room and people can't notice that you're different because you have the character and integrity and the qualities of God, then we're a poor example of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we want to see the power at work, it's not that you got to memorize all the scripture. It's not like you got to go out there and do supernatural things and raise the dead and heal. Those things do still happen today. But the greatest witness of all is simply you. When you walk anywhere, automatically there are those that are looking at you and will either recognize Jesus or they won't. I want you to get to your point. I want to train you in here and train me in here so that when I walk into a room, I become a light in darkness. When I go anywhere in the world, I become a light in darkness. If I'm sitting on a plane next to a person who doesn't know Christ, I become a light in darkness. I want them to ask me, what do you have? I want it. That's our goal. Not to have them go, is she supposed to be a Christian? She was gossiping with the rest of them in that place right over there. That she treated that waitress like garbage. And they called themselves Christians. Get what I'm saying? Yes. The power of the gospel has got to change us. It's not about whether you just know it. You got to know it. And it has to transform you and become who you are. We need his power for victorious Christian living. Effective Christian service if you want to serve. And we need his power for the ability to present the gospel with power. It's not just about reading it to them. What if someone does need to be healed and your pastor's not around? Not that I've got the gift of healing, because I don't. But anybody can heal. I may not have the gift of prophecy, but anybody can encourage or prophesy at any time. But there are certain people endowed with certain gifts. And you need to know what those gifts are and get out there and start using them. Because the gospel comes with power. Let me tell you something, folks. It's not just about reading a book. This thing comes with power. And we just read about where it comes from. And if you really believe and have faith for it, I am telling you, your life will be changed. And you're going to do things and go, whoa, how did that happen? And you're going to say, oh, I know how that happened. Because I'm building my most holy faith. Folks, you need to have this because there's a world who desperately needs Jesus. We look at our world today in the United States today, we desperately need Jesus. Last scripture, Colossians 1, 28 and 29. We proclaim him. Do we? We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom. In other words, the wisdom we get from God, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. That means if I rebuke you, or if I'm a little bit harsh on you, or I reveal some of your sin, Susie, it's not because I don't love you. It's because I do love her. Right. Brother, I'm going to hold you accountable if you're doing something wrong, not because I want to condemn you. It's because you're my brother, and I want to grow, and I want to grow with you, and I want you to hold me accountable. Amen. Rebuke is part of exhortation, of lifting us up. If we don't hold each other accountable, guys, if we don't start doing some things out of the box and begin to worship out of the box and get, like I said, when you go home, start singing to the Lord right there in your kitchen and not be ashamed of it. We got to start being who God wants us to be so that we can experience the power, because it's one of his attributes and he has to be able to entrust you with it. So when we need to speak life into each other, don't hold back. If you have anything that you need to say to me, if you don't like me, tell me you don't like me. But I know you're commanded to love me. Can't get away from that. If you leave this church, I don't care. You got to love me, but you don't have to like me. But we know what? You can learn to like me, just like we can learn to like anyone, because we have God's love. For this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power. In other words, we're not striving in self-effort. We are working according to his power, which is easy, really, if you yield. And what does it do? It will mightily work within you. In this case, work for Paul. He's no respecter of persons. So folks, exercise his power in accordance with his purpose and his will. And his will is his word. So when we align our lives with his perfect will, we have access to his power. How do I get access to God's power? Align yourself with his will. The same power, you know what song's coming. The same power that raised Jesus from the grave is available to us. So understand what God has done for you. Walk in obedience to his word, and the power of God will follow your witness that Jesus Christ indeed is Lord of all.